Good morning, church. Today's reading is 1 Corinthians 14, 1 through 12. Pursue love and earnestly desire the spiritual gifts, especially that you may prophesy. For one who speaks in a tongue speaks not to men, but to God, for no one understands him, but he utters mysteries in the spirit. On the other hand, the one who prophesies speaks to people for their upbuilding and encouragement and consolation. The one who speaks in a tongue builds up himself, but the one who prophesies builds up the church. Now I want you to all speak in tongues, but even more to prophesy. The one who prophesies is greater than the one who speaks in tongues. Unless someone interprets, so that the church may be built up. Now, brothers, if I come to you speaking in tongues, how will I benefit you unless I bring you some revelation, or knowledge, or prophecy, or teaching? If even lifeless instruments, such as the flute or the harp, do not give distinct notes, how will anyone know what is played? And if the bugle gives an indistinct sound, who will get ready for battle? So with yourselves. If your tongue you utter speech that is not intelligible, how will anyone know what is said? For you will be speaking into the air. There are doubtless many different languages in the world, and none was without meaning. But if I do not know the meaning of the language, I will be a foreigner to the speaker, and the speaker a foreigner to me. So with yourselves, since you are eager for manifestations of the Spirit, strive to excel in building up the church. From the words of our Lord, you may be seated.
Good morning. You guys doing well? Outstanding. Good to have you with us. Welcome to Desert Breeze Community Church. I also want to welcome those of you that are on YouTube Live right now. Thank you for joining us. We have a couple hundred people that watch online throughout the week and today and throughout the week. So if you have your Bibles, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. We're going to look at this chapter. Imperfect people, perfect God. Heaven speaks in a noisy world is the title of this weekend's message. We need this. We live in a very noisy, crazy world, and we need to hear the voice of heaven in our lives. I want to start here by talking about and give you my thoughts on Charlie Kirk's assassination. And I think it's always important to keep these things from and look at these things from a biblical perspective. Some of this is what I shared on social media and with our Wings group that met in here, right in here this last week to pray for the next generation. That's women interceding for the next generation is what Wings stands for. Nancy and I are terribly saddened and burning with righteous anger. And we thank God that the perpetrator was found and will be held accountable. Nancy and I recently had the privilege and opportunity to attend a Turning Point Pastors Conference and heard Charlie Kirk in person. And our Faith, Family, and Freedom Ministry, led by Warren and Andrea Bowden, have always had a close connection with Charlie Kirk and TP USA, Turning Point USA. Charlie was a bold, unwavering voice for biblical truth in our culture and a fully devoted follower of Jesus Christ. He rallied a younger generation to follow Christ, speak the truth, and vote their Christian values. His impact simply cannot be overstated. He was extremely influential in this last election, raising up a generation to vote Christian values. Young people loved Charlie. Young people hated Charlie. But Charlie went on to those college campuses anyway because of his love for God, his love for our nation, and his love for the young people of this nation. He had a powerful anointing and call on his life as an evangelist, apologist, and political activist unlike I've ever seen. In fact, he never encouraged violence against any political group. Never, ever. He only advocated peace. He believed in the power of free speech and debate. He was exceptionally gifted. If you don't know that or believe that, watch his social media videos and his interaction with college students. They are phenomenal. They're absolutely amazing. We mourn and pray for his wife, children, family, and friends. The online glee, celebration, and our cold indifference in response to Charlie's assassination by many exposes a darkness in our American culture that can only be described as demonic. Here's what we need to keep in mind. Anytime these things happen, and I'm just telling you, things are going to get darker, but God has called us to shine brighter and brighter in this dark world. That's what he's called us to do. And this is what you need to always keep in mind. Evil doesn't have the last word. It never does. What the enemy intends for harm, God can turn for our good and his glory. Genesis 50, 20, Romans 8, 28. If you're familiar with Genesis 50, 20, Joseph is looking into the eyes of his perpetrators and saying this: you intended to harm me, but God intended it for what is good, for now the saving of many lives. I believe that there will be the saving of many lives of what went down this last week. And we're already beginning to see that. We're already beginning to see that. It's absolutely amazing. God has something up his sleeve. Just wait and see. God is batting 1,000. He is perfect in love, infinite in wisdom, unlimited in power, working for our good and his glory. I mean, there are, if you're just paying attention out there, watching the news, the vigils, the rallies, the marches, the millions and millions of internet traffic for TPUSA is worldwide. The gospel is spreading across the globe, maybe unlike we've seen in a while. And something is stirring, and I know what's stirring. Our Savior, Jesus, promised in Matthew 16, 18, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And if you want to be a part of that, you humbly submit your life completely and totally to him. No matter what goes down in your life, you continue to live for him all the days of your life. Charlie Kirk is a Christian martyr in America. He died for his faith in Jesus Christ. Tertullian, one of the early church fathers of the second century, famously said, the blood of the martyrs is the seed of the church. May this be the seed of revival in our nation, unlike we've ever seen before. And may God raise up thousands, if not tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands, Charlie Kirks. May we see that begin to take place. And may we all be emboldened, be more courageous to be salt and light in this dark and depraved world, as we are challenged to be, according to Matthew 5, 13 through 16. These were the words of our Savior and our Lord. And here's what Charlie's wife, Erica, said in her public statement this last Friday. Anybody watch that? Show of hands. It was amazing. It was breathtaking. These are just a few of her thoughts. If you thought my husband's mission was powerful before, you have no idea what you unleashed. You have no idea the fire that you have ignited within this wife. The cries of this widow will echo around the world like a battle cry. To everyone listening tonight across America, the movement my husband built will not die. I mean, I believe heaven is speaking to Erica in our noisy world. And she's proclaiming the goodness and the greatness of God in the midst of the most horrible tragedy she could ever experience. See, that's heaven speaking loudly in this noisy world. By the way, Charlie started TPUSA when he was 18. He was 31 when he went to be with the Lord. That's amazing. It's absolutely amazing. So we're going to just take a moment. We're going to pray, and then we're going to head into our study. I think our study is perfect for this weekend, for what we've been facing, how to navigate this as God speaks to our hearts. We need to hear heaven speak in this noisy world. So would you bow your heads with me? Let's pray. I'm going to pray for Erica, her family, the kids. Father, we pray for Charlie Kirk's wife, Erica, and his two precious children, along with his parents, family, and friends. I pray the verse that Erica shared just hours before her husband Charlie was shot and killed at an event in Utah, Psalm 46:1. The Lord is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. Lord, be a refuge, be a strength, be a very present help in trouble. Lord, may your presence make the darkness tremble in their lives, through their lives, in this world. May it silence fear in their lives. And may this be the seed of revival in our nation unlike we've ever seen. And God, may you raise up thousands, hundreds of thousands of Charlie Kirks. And may we all be more courageous to be salt and light in this dark and depraved world. And Lord, we pause in the middle of a noisy world to hear your voice. Quiet our hearts. Open our ears. Speak clearly through your word this morning to us as we study your word. We welcome your spirit. Teach us, guide us. Let your presence fill this place. In Jesus' beautiful name, and everyone said, amen. So, let me start off by asking this question. Have you ever tried having a heart-to-heart conversation in a crowded coffee shop? It's a little impossible. And so you're leaning in, you're straining to hear, but all you catch is fragments because of the music, the chatter. The espresso machine is hissing in the background. You want to hear, but the noise drowns it out. Our world is full of voices, more so now than ever because of the internet, because of social media. You got news headlines, you got social media feeds, you got opinions and distractions. And in social media feeds, social media is full, listen to me, be warned, many of you know this, social media is full of lies, fake news, and toxic rhetoric to stir up unrighteous anger. So, in the middle of all that noise, God is speaking. So here's my question for you. Can you hear him? Are you hearing him? Are you listening to him? Ignoring God's voice in a noisy world has catastrophic consequences in our lives personally and as a culture. Ignoring God's voice in a noisy world leads to hard hearts, confusion, deception, fear, spiritual dryness, and missed intimacy with God. The Corinthian church services were noisy and chaotic. That's what he's addressing here in this chapter. Chapter 14 is just a crazy chapter when you read through it. I mean, it seems like these people were swinging from the rafters, getting crazy. And there's just major noise in the service. It's chaotic, multiple people speaking in tongues at the same time without interpretation, believers competing to display their gifts, disorder replacing clarity and edification. Take a look at your sermon notes here, part of the intro that sets us up. In 1 Corinthians 14, Paul shows us that God hasn't gone silent. He gives his spirit with gifts like tongues and prophecy. That's what we're going to talk about this morning. And this is the most extended teaching on tongues and prophecy in the New Testament. And so he gives us the Spirit, and he gives us gifts to cut through the noise so his people can hear his heart loud and clear. But all things must be motivated by love, that's verse 1, and be done decently in order, that's verse 40, because God is not a God of confusion, but a God of peace, verse 33. So let's talk about the gift of tongues, heaven's language for prayer and praise. And you can see the verses here. I'm going to read some of these verses. If you have your Bibles open here to this chapter, I'd encourage you to do that. You can follow along. So 1 Corinthians 14, verses 2, 4, and then 14 and 15. I'll read those verses. For one who speaks in a tongue speaks not to men but to God. For no one understands him, but he utters mysteries in the Spirit. So he's kind of helping us to understand what speaking in tongues is. So he's not speaking to men, speaking to God, and he's uttering mysteries in the Spirit. The one who speaks in a tongue builds himself up. Builds up himself, but the one who prophesies builds up the church. So he's making a distinction. So they just had a massive use of speaking in tongues and prophecy. It was mass chaos in the service. So he's trying to bring order to the service. Not against either one of these. He's trying to help them to understand how you use those within the fellowship. Look at verse 14. For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my mind is unfruitful. He's helping us to understand that. I speak in tongues. I have that gift. My wife has that gift. I'll talk a little bit more about that. I find it to be a very, very helpful gift every day for me. And it's a bit insulting to your mind. Notice what he says. For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my mind is unfruitful. I don't know what I'm even saying. Verse 15, what am I to do? I will pray with my spirit, but I will pray with my mind also. Notice the distinction. So when you're praying in the Spirit, you don't know what you're praying. So it's a bit, and oftentimes I think this is one of the things that keeps people from receiving this gift is because it's so offensive to your mind, to your intellect, to your pride. It seems almost foolishness. You just need to understand that. When I begin to humble myself and pour my heart out to God, I begin to receive that gift years ago. We'll talk more about that. And he says, I will sing with my spirit, but I will sing with my mind also. So what is it? Here's your first fill in the blank. Speaking in a language unknown to the speaker, by the Spirit, directed primarily to God. Verse 18, Paul says, I thank God that I speak in tongues more than all of you. And so Paul does not dismiss the gift of tongues. He himself speaks in tongues often. And here's the next fill in the blank. It is a personal prayer language that builds up the individual believer. I've found that to be the case in my life. I know my wife too, she would say the same. It's self-edifying. It's a connecting deeply with God. So why is it important? Strengthens your spirit and deepens intimacy with God. And it helps, here's the next fill in the blank. It helps when words fail, the Spirit intercedes through you. Just want to focus on that just for a minute. So sometimes I don't even know how to pray about a particular situation. So when I pray in tongues, I know that I'm praying right on with what God wants to do. And then sometimes even when I'm praying in tongues, the Lord will begin to put things in my heart, in my mind, give me an impression as I begin to pray, and I can pray specific to the need at hand. And the idea of praying in tongues is also known as praying in the Spirit. So praying in the Spirit, this may be praying in tongues or praying words and or vocal expressions born of the Holy Spirit. Jude chapter 1 verse 20 talks about this, but you, beloved, building yourselves up in your most holy faith and praying in the Holy Spirit. Romans 8:26, it says, likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself intercedes for us with, notice the word here, groanings too deep for words. The word there means sigh, a sigh. I know that everybody here has had that experience before. I know that Erica, this last week, when she lost her husband, Charlie, there was groaning. There was deep sighs. There was deep devastation in her heart as she poured her heart out to God. It was evident she had poured her heart out to God because of what she communicated to us. God met with her. And she poured her heart to God. And God met with her, heart to heart, spirit to spirit. See, that's praying in the Spirit. Whether you speak in tongues or not, you can connect with God at that deep level. You see, the book of Psalms is all about that. When you read through the book of Psalms, 150 chapters, biggest book in the Bible. It's all about heart to heart with God. Pouring your heart, your questions, your doubts and fears to God. God, where are you? God, I need you. I'm trusting in you. Help me navigate this. I don't know what I'm going to do. And the Holy Spirit begins to intercede for us through that. That's the idea here. So how do we receive it? Earnestly desire spiritual gifts. That's verse 1. That's what he says. Earnestly want it badly. Want it badly. Now don't seek that gift or the gifts, but seek the gift giver. That's what you want to do. Don't make it about the gifts. Make it about the gift giver. In fact, it even says this. In Luke 11:13, and then ask the Father in faith. So Jesus is teaching his disciples to pray, and he says something just so profound, it's beautiful. He says, if you, though you are evil, that's us, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more does your Father in heaven want to give good things? He says the Holy Spirit to those who ask. He wants to give you the Holy Spirit. He wants you to experience all that he has for you. And so think about that. There's no parent on earth that wants the very best for their child as much as your Father in heaven wants for you. And that's what he's saying. He's inviting us. He's saying, come, come, ask. I want to pour my Spirit upon you. That's what we're talking about here. When you think of tongues, think of Holy Spirit being poured out upon you. And speaking in tongues is one of the many manifestations that you can experience as a result of that. We'll talk more about that. So earnestly desire spiritual gifts and ask the Father in faith. And you need to keep in mind, too, it is not about working it up emotionally, but yielding in faith. Sometimes the gift is imparted when others lay hands in prayer. That's found in Acts 19:6. So I would be more than happy to pray for you this morning if you want to come up at the end. I'd lay hands on you that you could receive that gift. Surrender your voice and yield to the Spirit's promptings. So tongues is not an ecstatic, uncontrollable experience. A lot of people confuse that. The New Testament does not describe tongues as a loss of self-control or a trance. And that's the point that he's making here is people are almost out of control in that service. Like, I can't control myself. Well, yeah, you can. That's what he's saying. Instead, Paul insists tongues can be started and stopped at will. 1 Corinthians 14:27-28 and 14:32-33. I know that for a fact. I have the gift of tongues. I can stop and start at will. I can pray when I'm in tongues. So distinguishing emotional fervor from ecstatic loss of control, that's what he's saying. So tongues are emotional, relational, but controlled. While often emotional and uplifting, tongues remain under the speaker's control and are not uncontrolled ecstasy. They are spiritual, not irrational or absent-minded. So believers today often describe tongues like this. This is what I've experienced. This is what I've heard people say that have this gift. I know some of you have this gift. It's a deep sense of God's presence. It's freedom beyond words. It's overwhelming peace or joy. Unrehearsed but natural. A private prayer language when you don't know what to say. It's like rivers of living water flowing out of your heart. That's John 7:38. By the way, you can experience all of that without speaking in tongues too. And so here's the next point, big point, important point. Every believer may or may not have the gift of tongues, and this is debated. This is debated. And I came from a background where they actually taught that you can have a personal language of tongues to God, and then there's a language that you would speak almost prophetically, but in tongues, that would need an interpretation that's directed toward the congregation or toward people. And they'd make that distinction. And you could actually, if you heard the tongues, you could hear a difference between the two. And it's a really quite fascinating, very supernatural, amazing how God would speak to us and through us like that. But every believer may or may not have the gift of tongues. It's debated. But listen to me. Don't miss this. Every believer can be filled with the Holy Spirit. And I put this on your notes. You need to add some verses there. Ephesians 5, 18 through 21. And I'm not going to get into the debate part because I don't have time. We can talk about it later. So I want to talk about you being filled with the Holy Spirit. And that's what you should seek more than anything. Every believer can be filled and should be filled with the Holy Spirit and can experience His presence and empowerment in different ways. That's what you should see. Whether you have tongues or not, whether you receive the gift of tongues or not, whether you want to debate on that or not, I mean, it just, tongues is one expression, but not the only one. We did a teaching series at the beginning of this year. It was called Greater Things, and the subtitle was Experiencing the Holy Spirit's Power in Our Life. I really felt like God wanted us to experience more of His power in our lives as a church family. And did about 14, 15 messages. It's been the most popular teaching series we've done in a while. A lot of people have been going back to that. I encourage you to go back and listen to the various messages that we spoke on that. I actually talked specifically one weekend on Spirit-filled living. If you go to our YouTube channel or go to our website, look up the message under the title Greater Things. And basically the idea was that God wants to do greater things in you and through you and for you that will blow your mind. That's the work of God in our lives. And in Ephesians 5, 18 through 21, experiencing the Holy Spirit's power, Spirit-filled living, we talked about that under the title Spirit-filled living in that series. And in that, if you read that, he's actually talking about the Spirit-filled life. He doesn't mention tongues there. Maybe you could find it somewhere in those verses. But he says, do not be drunk with wine, which leads to debauchery, but be being filled with the Holy Spirit. In other words, he's saying, this is an experience you can have daily. Spirit-filled life, full of God's grace and mercy and love. And I went through a list of what that looks like. I'll just give it to you really quickly. This is what you should be wanting, is the Spirit-filled life, and this is what it should look like in your life more than anything. An interaction with others that is edifying and healing. That would be love. So when you connect deeply with God and your life is filled up with God, you're going to interact with others that is edifying and healing. That's love. A song in your heart from the delight of living in God's presence. That's joy. A life of thanksgiving to God always and in everything, in all circumstances. That's called peace. A pouring out of your life in service to others. That's patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. So here's what I'm saying. Spirit-filled life, what you should be looking for more than anything is the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Now, I'm going to tell on my background a little bit here because I would hear, when I was a kid growing up, I heard men speaking in tongues on Sunday morning and then on Monday night playing softball, I heard them speaking another tongue, okay? And it wasn't a good tongue. I thought, And it created a bit of a like confusion for me. I thought that made you more spiritual somehow, that you were connecting with God in such a way that it should kind of transform how you interact with the umpire. when he makes a bad call, or whether your team is succeeding or not. And I begin to see that disparity. And I could tell you a lot of different stories about that. We had a youth pastor that had never spoken in tongues, and he showed more of the fruit of the Holy Spirit than the people that threw him out of the church because they felt like he wasn't Spirit-filled. So I'm just telling you, I've seen the abuse. I didn't swing to the other extreme and negate those gifts. I just said, wow, there's something wrong here. There's something wrong. You speak in tongues all day long, but if it doesn't in the end produce more of the fruit of the Holy Spirit, that's godly character. If you're not more Christ-like, then there's something wrong. There's some kind of connection missing. I'm not pushing away these gifts. These are wonderful gifts. I've found them to be very beneficial. But man, we got to stay focused on what's most important. And it's really about us becoming more like Jesus. And growing and maturing and hearing his voice. Man, if you're hearing his voice, if you're connecting with him at that deep level, that's what you can expect. It should be more love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, no matter the circumstances of your life. That's what we want. That's what we long for. Okay, so how do we use it? Well, privately, for prayer, worship, and personal spiritual edification, I do that. Publicly, we don't do it publicly here. It's too big of a setting. Can create too much confusion, have to pass a mic around. We don't have time for that, but I would encourage it if it could be appropriate in a small group setting, if that indeed you have that gift and you have someone that can interpret that gift. And so that's what Paul is teaching here. So publicly, only with interpretation to edify the church, but order and love must govern its use. So let me give you a quick application here. So if you have this gift, don't neglect it because it will strengthen your spirit. Make room in your prayer life for the Spirit's language. I do that every day, throughout the day. If you don't have this gift, this is what you should be asking for. Ask for it, but most importantly, pray heartfelt, meaningful prayers. Asking God to fill you with his Holy Spirit, giving you a greater experience of his presence in your life. God, fill me with your Holy Spirit. I wake up every morning. Lord, fill me with your Holy Spirit. Give me a greater experience of your presence. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Lord, I want to know you. I want to walk with you. I want to experience you. And then ask him for a greater manifestation of the fruit of the Holy Spirit in your life in all circumstances. And a greater manifestation of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Lord, use me powerfully to make an impact in people's lives. I really believe Charlie Kirk walked in that. Listening to him, watching him, starting that ministry at 18 years old. Who does that? He's 31. He's going on campuses, going face to face with people, proclaiming the gospel, not afraid. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. That is amazing. I mean, he was fearless. That's a spirit-filled man. And it's just absolutely, that's what we want. I mean, I just want you to know, it says in 1 Corinthians 2:9, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no heart has imagined what God has in store for those who love him. Do you have any idea what he wants to do in you and through you and for you? I mean, we need to raise our expectations. We serve a God that is out of this world. He's amazing. He loves us. He gave his life for us. He wants to fill us with his presence. He wants to do powerful things in and through our lives. I think Charlie Kirk was an example of that. That's why I'm praying, God, raise up more Charlie Kirks. That's what we want. That's what we need. Ephesians 3:20, it says, God is able to do more abundantly than all that we ask or imagine according to his power within us. You have the resurrection power of God inside of you, with you, for you, never to leave you or forsake you. So faith is feasting on the reality of who Christ is and what he's done for you. That it ruins you for anything else, and you just want to be filled up with all that he has for you. Okay, enough said there. Gift of prophecy. So the gift of prophecy, heaven's message for the church. We did a whole You know, in this last teaching series, Greater Things series, Experiencing the Holy Spirit's Power, and we talked about prophecy in this chapter in particular. You can go online and listen to it. We said greater things in the church. The thumbnail for this one on YouTube and also on our website is Modern Day Prophecy. So you can listen to that. I go into more detail on that one than what I'm going to do here. But we're going to still talk about it here. Let me read to you what he says about prophecy. 1 Corinthians 14:3-5. On the other hand, the one who prophesies speaks to people for their building, encouragement, and consolation. I memorized that years ago. Edification, exhortation, and comfort. So he's just saying, we have this capacity. If you have this gift of prophecy, which I think this is what he's saying. Everybody needs to seek this gift. You need to have this gift. That we can speak into people's life, bring edification, exhortation, comfort to them. The one who speaks in tongue builds up himself, but the one who prophesies builds up the church. Now, I want you all to speak in tongues. That's what he says. But even more to prophesy. The one who prophesies is greater than the one who speaks in tongues, unless someone interprets, so that the church may be built up. And then verse 31, for you can all prophesy one by one so that all may learn and all be encouraged. So what is it? Speaking a spirit-inspired message from God to strengthen, encourage, and comfort. Sounds like what we should be doing every day. A spirit-inspired message that would bring edification, exhortation, and comfort to the people we come in contact with. That's what he's saying. That would be prophecy. It is not predicting the future, though it can be, but primarily forthtelling. Forthtelling what? God's heart and perspective into a situation. I know that everybody here at one time in their life, you know, when the Bible says don't be afraid or don't be dismayed, the Bible uses that a lot. You know, what's the most frequent command in the Bible? Anybody? Don't be afraid. What's the most frequent promise in the Bible? I will be with you. And oftentimes attached to that is therefore we do not need to be afraid or be dismayed. The word dismayed just basically means your head spinning around. You know, I don't understand what's going on. Why is this happening to me? And so you can speak words of truth to them to give perspective in their current situation. That's the heart of God. Erica spoke the heart of God when she got out and made her address to the public, said, hey, here's what's going on, and I'm telling you, God is stirring in me, and I'm going to go for God regardless of what just happened to me. And she spoke with such power and grace and love and peace. You could see she was torn up. She was broken. It's amazing. So I put some verses here just to kind of help us to understand this. So this is the heart of God, and this helps people to put things in perspective. Hebrews 3:12-13, your words can help to keep someone from being deceived by sin. Hebrews 10:24-25, your words can stir others up to love and good deeds. You can stir someone's passion and appetite for God unlike they've ever known before. I mean, that's my prayer every weekend. When I get up here, I pray for that. May I stir your hearts for Jesus unlike you've ever known before. Yeah. Proverbs 12:18, listen to what it says. Reckless words pierce like a sword, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. You can do major damage in people's lives by what you say. I've seen so many marriages destroyed because of their mouth, because what spouses have said to each other. It's destructive. It's horrible. It's demonic. It's from hell. But what's from heaven is words that bring healing and love and encouragement, edification, exhortation, comfort. That's what God called us to do. But we've got to be filled up with that. We've got to hear it from heaven so we can speak those words into people's lives. That's what he's called us to do. It says in Proverbs 18:21, death and life are in the power of the tongue. There is so much hatefulness on the internet. There's so much death. It's unbelievable. And we as believers should be speaking life to people. No. Why is it important? That's why it's important. Why is it important? It builds up the whole church for growth and mission. It brings clarity and conviction to unbelievers. I've seen that. I've seen that in these weekend services. There isn't hardly a week that goes by, especially when we do water baptisms, when people come here that don't know Jesus, they want to know Jesus. They realize and see their need for him and want to make a confession of faith in Jesus Christ. I see that regularly. It's absolutely, absolutely amazing. This is what it says in Revelation 19:10. The spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Jesus. So let me ask you this. Are you speaking the spirit of prophecy over and with people that you hang out with? Are you telling them how great Jesus is and what he's done for them? Are you telling them that there is no sin or suffering that is a match for his redeeming, restoring, rescuing grace? That's a true statement. Are you telling them, yeah, the thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy. That's 100% right. That's happening all around us. But our Savior came that we might have life and have it to the fullest. He's with us. He's for us. He's more than enough, no matter what you're facing. See, those are the words we should be speaking. We should be sharing the gospel, as Charlie Kirk did regularly. He shared the gospel. He proclaimed the good news of Jesus. We need to do the same. I thought it'd be good to kind of do a quick case study here. I wanted to really emphasize that and help you to understand that. And I put this up on the screen. And there's hardly a week that goes by that I'm not helping somebody and speaking prophetically into their life. And God has called all of us to do that. I had a friend recently where struggling with an addiction, and I was able to speak some truth to them to help them to get them on the right track. And this is what you need to know, is that if Christ is not at the center of your life, then something else is, and it will inevitably become an addiction. Because we're so desperate to fill the emptiness inside. If we're not filling it with God, we're going to fill it with something else, and that becomes an addiction. Addictions are an ever-increasing craving for an ever-diminishing pleasure. Addictions are driven by shame. OCDs, sin, any kind of bad attitudes or actions are all driven by shame. Shame is an identity crisis. God is not a shame producer, but a shame remover. Here's what identity crisis is. Identity crisis happens when we forget and therefore don't live in the reality of our, check this out, this is so good, our irrevocable inheritance of worth. That we would speak to people in such a way that they understand how much worth God gives to them because he sacrificed his son on their behalf. The Savior of the world bled and died for us. That's incredible worth that he places upon every person. Not only the fact that we are image bearers of God that gives us worth, just the fact of being created as image bearers of God, but then he bled and died for us. That's incredible. I could preach on every one of these. I need to knock it off. But anyway, worth, belonging, that we have a belonging, we have purpose in Christ Jesus. When Jesus heard these words spoken over him, you are my beloved son in whom you are well pleased. Those are words for us when we put our faith in him. Identity isn't something you achieve. It's something you receive by grace through faith in Christ Jesus. If people knew who they were in Christ, they wouldn't be doing what they are doing. They're not, people do crazy stuff. They don't know what we have in him. And so these are true statements. You've heard me say these statements before. And these are the things that we should be basking in the reality of, to the point that it's spilling out of our lives so that we speak these words to one another. We just remind each other of these truths. I am divinely designed by God, deeply desired by him, lavishly loved. Oh my goodness. I have his indispensable love. You're desperate for a love that only he can give you, and it's irresistible. Lavishly loved, fully forgiven. A sacred story of God's amazing grace. He wants you to be a trophy of his grace so that when people look at your life, they're going to go, wow, what in the world happened to you? You were a mess, and now I see God. You're a masterpiece of what God's doing. That's what that verse is, Ephesians 2, 10. And the more you have consistent, intimate, meaningful interaction with God, the more you will experience what we're saying here. I'm divinely designed, deeply desired. The rest of the list there. The more you're going to experience that, and the more that will spill over in your life to those around you. You are around people every day who are desperate to hear this right here. You're divinely designed. You know the whole transgender confusion out there? They don't understand they're divinely designed. They don't understand what God has done. It's just, it's beautiful, it's amazing. But we need to speak those words. Deeply desired, that the God of the galaxies would desire me. He lavishes his love on me. I'm fully forgiven. I'm a sacred story of God's amazing grace. People need to hear that. You need to hear that. You need to bask in the reality of that. And when you hear heaven speaking in a noisy world, you will become humble. You'll become more certain. The truth will set you free. Believe me, you'll be more courageous. You'll have spiritual vitality, and you'll have a more satisfying level of intimacy that is out of this world. Okay, that was my case study. That's what I was trying to help, and this is what I try to help people do all the time. Okay, so why is it important? We're almost finished. Okay, maybe not quite. But anyway, why is it important? It already did that. Okay, how do we receive it? Cultivate intimacy with God. Just talked about that. Prophecy flows from his heart. Man, you don't need to wait for a word. You know a word for people if you know his heart and if you're basking in the reality of these truths. These truths should be just flowing from our lives. Earnestly desire and pray for this gift. He says that twice, verse 1 and 39, twice. Earnestly desire. Want this badly. Want this badly. Practice listening prayer and scripture meditation. Prophecy comes as the Holy Spirit prompts. Sometimes it's a word, a scripture, a picture, an impression. And so you've got to want it. How do we use it? Share it in love and humility. Submit words to biblical testing and discernment. So you're not going to be saying anything that contradicts God's word. Filter everything through God's word. So just make sure you're preaching, proclaiming God's word, and you're filtering it through that. We don't receive an infallible We don't receive it as infallible, but as something submitted to the community in Scripture. And he makes that very clear in verses 29, 32. And we see that also in verse 1 Thessalonians 5, 20 through 21. Here's the application. God wants to use your voice to bring edification, exhortation, and comfort to the people in your life. Seek his heart and speak his words boldly. So the common thread, last fill in the blank, love is the loudest voice. Love is the loudest voice. Did a whole teaching series last weekend. If you weren't here, didn't hear it, go online. You got to listen to it. Love is the real flex. It was the title of that. So Paul sandwiches this teaching on gifts with the chapter of love. This is not a coincidence, folks. He's just saying, if you're spirit-filled, this is what it's going to look like. It's going to be love. Love is going to be all over that. The purpose of tongues and prophecy isn't hype, but help, healing, and wholeness. The Spirit speaks clearly through surrendered, loving believers. Application, a noisy world needs Christians whose gifts are grounded in love. Gifts are channels of God's voice in love. So, next weekend, death isn't the end. That's 1 Corinthians 15. I'd encourage you to read that and be prepared for our study. If you're new here, I'm going to be up at the front at the end of the service right here, as I always am, along with any available elders and leaders. And if you're new, we'd love to meet you. If you need prayer, I'd love to pray with you. If you want to commit your life to Christ, we'd love to pray with you to do that. Let's see, if you got any questions, I'd love to answer those questions for you. Here's my challenge, and then I'm going to pray, and then you guys are out of here to face the week. Are you hearing God's voice in the noise? Are you taking out time to hear his voice? If not, you're going to be confused. You're not going to be used by him. You're not going to be able to share what he's wanting to speak to this crazy world. Are you hearing God's voice in the noise? Are you letting him speak through you? Ask God to give you a fresh, filling of His Holy Spirit. I'm going to ask Him right now in prayer. Would you bow your heads with me? Father, thank You that in a world full of noise, You are not silent, but still speak to Your people. It is amazing. We love You. Help us to recognize Your voice, respond in faith, use every gift You've given us to build up Your church and glorify You. Fill us with Your Spirit and send us out as Your messengers in a noisy world, bringing love where there is hate, truth where there's deception, hope where there's despair. We pray these things in Jesus' beautiful name. And everyone said, amen. Amen. Love you guys.